of us can turn in our Bibles to 2 Kings chapter 22. Coming to a close on 2 Kings, probably saying, hey, whew, now we can get on to another book. I mean, all these kings and stuff like that. But wait, there's more. In other words, we've got Chronicles to go through yet too. But Chronicles brings out a whole lot more detail about the things that we're reading here. This is just kind of like a stenographer's notes of whatever. Kind of like, somebody that's taking shorthand during a meeting or something like that. But when we get into 2 Chronicles, more is brought out. And I've been trying to pull out some of the some of the more highlights to enhance that which we've been looking at. So 2 Kings 22. Heavenly Father, we just come before you. Lord, this is your word, and these are your people. And I pray, Father, that the word that goes forth today, that, Lord, it would just touch the hearts of those hearers. Whether they be here or on Zoom or even listening to the recording after the fact. Lord, I just pray that you would use us in these last days to reach people around us. Lord, give us the boldness to speak. Give us the wherewithal to want to do that which is pleasing unto you all the days of our lives. I pray, Father, that you would put a hedge of protection around each of us, around our hearts, around our minds, so that the enemy doesn't have a foothold into our hearts or into our minds. That the thoughts of our hearts and the meditations that we meditate upon would be upon your word and not the things of this world. So, Lord, I pray, have your way with us. By your Holy Spirit, take the words that we read today and just indelibly write them upon our hearts, so that we would see how it is that's pleasing to you. In Jesus' name, for your honor and glory, amen. So Josiah's grandfather, Manasseh, had done more damage than he could repair after his conversion. If you remember, he was one of the wickedest kings that ever was. He brought back all of the idol worship and all of the... He did a lot of heinous things until the king of Assyria came down and threw him in the prison in Babylon. And as he was in prison in the Babylon, he finally came to his senses and he finally realized that, hey, wait, the Lord is God. Now, he had been fighting against the Lord for all of his life. From the time that he took the kingship all the way until the time he was thrown into the dungeon. But something happened there. There was something that touched his heart. The Holy Spirit came upon him and he was able then to see what the reality is. That God is the Lord and he is the one that loves us. So no matter what it is that we did in our past, it's not beyond God's forgiveness. Remember the prodigal son. It's the same thing. We don't know all of the heinous things that he did, but we know that it was pretty upsetting to the older brother that, hey, he's wasted your living on this kind of stuff here, and then you welcome him back. And yes, he welcomes us back. All we have to do is turn around and confess our sin, and he grabs us and he brings us back into fellowship once again. Damage has been done, pretty sure. But it's not more than the Lord can repair. Each and every one of our lives, we have things in our past that need to be repaired. We need to confess those things and allow the Lord to work on those things. Give him permission to do these things. He's not going to do anything against our will. So the Bible doesn't tell us when or how long Manasseh was in Babylon. For me, it would have taken just for the slamming of the gate behind me to realize, Lord, I've sinned against you. But that's just me. Perhaps Manasseh had some things that he needed to work out. While he was gone, probably Ammon probably reigned in his place until he came back. And then all of the things that Manasseh did while he was evil had infected him so badly that there was no point of return. There was nothing for him to come back to. Even though the heart of his father was changed, and it's probably he's reversing everything that he had done before, and Ammon's probably sitting back saying, boy, this guy's gone stark raving mad. First he does this, and now he's coming back and do that. Oh man, we just gotta bear with it until the old man passes. Now, at this point, there's a couple of prophets that were prevalent during that time, whose books we have. Number one, Jeremiah. Jeremiah the prophet. He's going to, if you want to get even more detail about Josiah, just go through the prophecies of Jeremiah. And also Zephaniah. Zephaniah was also a prophet during that time. And so, as we'll probably mention later on. So in verse 1 he says, Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Jedidah, and the daughter of Adiah of Bosgath. So like Asa and Hezekiah before him, Josiah did that which was right before the Lord and followed after the good ways of his ancestor David. Peace and prosperity and reform characterized his reign. Josiah was only 8 years old when he was crowned king, and he reigned over Judah 31 years. During his reign, the world power passed from the Assyrian to the Babylonian Empire. Nineveh, the capital of Assyria, was destroyed in 612 BC, and the Assyrian Empire fell in 609 BC. Just a little historical reckoning there, so you can kind of tell when Jonah went to preach to Nineveh. And at last, after more than 300 years, the prophecy of the man of God out of Judah is fulfilled. Now you remember that. This man of God came out in 1 Kings 13, verses 1 and 2, and he says, Behold, there came a man of God out of Judah by the word of the Lord unto Bethel, and Jeroboam stood by the altar to burn incense. So this is going way, way back. And he cried against the altar the word of the Lord and said, O altar, altar, thus saith the Lord, Behold, a child shall be born unto the house of David, Josiah by name. And upon thee shall he offer the priests of the high places that burn incense upon thee, and men's bones shall be burnt upon thee. And you recall as Jeroboam was there by the altar also after the prophecy came, the altar broke in pieces there. And so what it is God was signifying, hey, this is going to come to pass by the miracle of the breaking of that altar. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. Now here comes Josiah's report card. He did that which was right in the sight of the Lord and walked in all the ways of David his father and turned not aside to the right hand or to the left. So this is kind of A plus plus kind of a thing down there that the Lord put on his report card. So Josiah gets this glowing report card in the Lord's estimation, which is really the only opinion that we want anyway. Now we all crave approval. You know, we crave approval from our spouses. We want to know that, hey, we're doing the right things, that we're on the same page. We like approval from our bosses. You know, when our bosses are kind of quiet, we get a little nervous sometimes, and we think, okay, you know, the axe is going to be coming pretty soon because he hasn't said I'm doing a good job. But I've come to find out in all my years is that the boss never comes around to tell you that you're doing a good job. The very fact that you're still there means that you were doing a good job. And so a couple of bosses had told me that in years gone by, and I was asking them about it one day. I said, look, you know, am I doing a good job? Is this, am I doing right? Is there ways that I can improve and stuff like that? And he says, no, you're going the right way. If you're doing badly, I'll let you know. And so I just said, okay, well, shrugged it off and said, okay, well, I guess I'm doing okay. Now, it's the Lord's approval overall that we should be seeking, because his is the only one that matters. When it's all said and done and this earth is rolled up as a scroll and the heavens and the earth are rolled up as a scroll and they're done away and all of the former things are remembered no more, what do we want to do? We want to stand before the Lord. We want to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of thy Lord. That's what I want to hear. And I'm sure that's what each and every one of us want to hear. And as I've been going through Ecclesiastes, one thing stands out, and the whole book is all about vanity of vanity. All is vanity. All is emptiness. All of the work that we do in this world is emptiness. It's all going to be gone as soon as we leave this planet. The only thing that's going to remain is that which the Lord stores up, that's been done by His leading and by His empowering. Everything else, gone. You know, I mean, I worked for a long, long time, and it was like all of the things that I did, they're not remembered anymore. They were cutting edge at the time, but as the years progressed, all of that became mothballs. It all became dust and ashes. All of the things that they heralded at one time and say, oh yeah, this is the greatest thing since sliced bread and blah, blah, blah. And then all of a sudden somebody comes along and does it better or does it differently and does it in such a way that, you know, it's cost effective or what have you. But it is going to happen. Everything in this world is going to be empty. And that's what, you know, vanity is. It's emptiness. In verse 3, and it came to pass in the 18th year of King Josiah. Now, according to 2 Chronicles 34, at the age of 16, Josiah began to seek after God from David his father. So, you know, it was that little part is left out of the King's version, but in 2 Chronicles it brings out, I say, more detail. The Holy Spirit began to stir in the heart of this young king to seek after the Lord. And it's always the Lord that does it. It's the Holy Spirit that comes and stirs our hearts so that we would seek the Lord. It's the Holy Spirit of the Lord that convicts us of things that we're, if we're on the wrong path, He kind of convicts us of that. And we know it's on the wrong path because the Holy Spirit is doing His work. And so as the Holy Spirit worked on the heart of this young king, faith was birthed in his heart. Hebrews 11:6 tells us, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And so Hilkiah, the high priest, began to teach him that what he knew about the Word of God. You see, the Word of God had been stifled for all of these years, and even Hilkiah wasn't really sure of, you know, all of the things that needed to be done as far as serving the Lord. He couldn't go into the temple and serve because all of the things of the temple were had been taken out and replaced with idols and things like this, things that were abominable. And so there was no, you know, priestly duties to do anymore. And it came to pass in the 18th year of the king Josiah that the king sent Shaphan, the son of Azaliah, the son of Meshulam, the scribe, to the house of the Lord, saying, go up to Hilkiah the high priest, that he may sum the silver which is brought into the house of the Lord, which the keepers of the door hath gathered of the people, and let them deliver it into the hand of the doers of the work, that they have the oversight over the house of the Lord, and let him give it to the doers of the work, which is in the Lord's which is in the house of the Lord, to repair the breaches of the house, unto carpenters and builders and masons, to buy timber and hewn stone to repair the house. As Josiah learned more and more about the house, about the Lord and his ways and everything that transpired on that, he realized, hey, the temple of the Lord is falling into disrepair. It's got cracks in the ceiling and on the walls and stuff like that as this massive building is settling down on the rock base that it's on. You know, it still shifts and stuff like that. And nobody cared. Nobody cared enough to shore up those breaches there. So he ordered the house to be repaired. And so this was, you know, something as the Lord is working on this guy's heart at 16. We often think that, you know, kids can't be really trusted with this stuff. But Josiah had a heart for the Lord here. And it was all done by the Holy Spirit. Howbeit, verse 7, there was no reckoning made of them of the money that was delivered into their hand, because they dealt faithfully. Isn't that wonderful? I mean, don't you want to be that person that deals faithfully? And then people will look at you, I can trust this guy. I don't have to watch over his shoulder to see if he's stealing pennies and stuff like that from the coffers. I know that he's trustworthy. And he will render what is necessary to the company. And Hilkiah the high priest said unto Shaphan the scribe, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. And Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan, and he read it. Okay? You know, you give somebody a book, and what's the thing you got to do? You got to read it to see what it says. You know, I'm interested. Somebody hands you off a book. Oh, I just read this book. It's a wonderful book. You know, you get it, and you start reading it, and you get engrossed in it. You know, I've had books like that where I pick it up, and I just couldn't put it down. You know, I'm reading it and reading it, and then I'm cooking dinner, reading it, and all of these things, and then I couldn't eat what I was cooking because I was so engrossed in there, I burned the chow, and so it was kind of like a, you know, but it was so good, it was so engrossing, I just couldn't put it down. During the reign of Manasseh and Ammon, they had put idols and groves into the house of the Lord. This is the Baal and Ashtoreth. It's in the house of the Lord. And I think we've gone over, I think it was last week we went over the architecture of man, where the different places in the Holy of Holies is actually a template for man is, where God is on the throne in the Holy of Holies, and then His will and His love is poured out into the holy place where service is done, and et cetera, and it flows out to the physical, and that kind of thing. So if you didn't, if you weren't here for that or you forgot about that, then, you can get a message online left from last week. So as they put in these idols and these groves and stuff, they took the furniture out of the temple and stored it away somewhere. You know, it wasn't necessary. Nobody was using it. We don't need it in there. We need the space for these idols and the idol worshiping. And so the menorah, the table of showbread, and the golden altar of incense, they were all taken out. But what wasn't touched was the Holy of Holies, where the Ark of the Covenant and the mercy seat was. And that was a good thing, because that's where Shaphan, or Hilkiah, found the book of the law. According to Deuteronomy 31, there was to be a copy of this book of the law besides the Ark of the Covenant beginning in the days of Moses. Now, you all remember that as we went through Deuteronomy. The word of God was with Israel, but it was greatly neglected in those days. You know, and I wonder how many households do they have Bibles in it that are just collecting dust, or they're, you know, being used to level out a table leg or something like that. It's, they're not read anymore. It's been neglected. And so the nation that we live in, the world that we live in is just, you know, nobody knows what it is right. It's all sways this way and then that way. And whoever comes to power, you know, the woke generation had their day, and now it's being shifted to the right or whatever, and more conservative viewpoints and that. So, unless we have the foundation, unless we have the Word of God buried in our hearts so that we know what it is that we're to do. If you remember the report card, Josiah didn't turn to the left hand or to the right. He came straight on to what the Lord had told him. Now, according to Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, the prophet Jeremiah was the son of this particular high priest, Hilkiah. Jeremiah began his ministry during the reign of King Josiah, as we had said before. And Shaphan the scribe came to the king and brought the king word again and said, "Thy servants have gathered the money that was found in the house, and I have delivered into the hand of them that do the work and have the oversight of the house of the Lord." And Shaphan the scribe showed the king, saying, "Hilkiah the priest hath delivered me a book." And Shaphan read it before the king. And it came to pass, when the king had heard the words of the book of the law, that he rent his clothes. So hearing of God's word did a spiritual work in King Josiah. He was not merely the transmission of information, but at the hearing of God's word had an effect, a spiritual impact upon the power, spiritual power on Josiah. The tearing of his clothing was a traditional expression of grief and astonishment. He heard all of the curses that the Lord had pronounced if they neglected the word, and he was afraid. And he rent his clothes, and he was in mourning now. This conviction of sin is a special work of the Holy Spirit. Even as Jesus said in John 16:18, "And when he has come," that is the Holy Spirit, "he will convict the world of sin." So that's the Holy Spirit's job. Josiah was the king over these people. He was responsible for these people, and so he was grieved for the people. So if you're convicted of sin, rejoice and know it's the work of the Holy Spirit. And the king commanded Hilkiah the priest and Nekaim, the son of Shaphan, and Archbor, the son of Micaiah, and Shaphan the scribe, and Asaiah the servant of the king, saying, "Go ye, inquire of the Lord for me and for the people and for all Judah concerning the words of this book that is found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is kindled against us, because our fathers have not hearkened unto the words of this book to do according to all that is written concerning us." So it wasn't that the king knew nothing of God or how to seek him. It was the high priest's job to seek after the Lord, to go before the Lord and get an answer. But then prophets came into the scene. And the prophets then showed the word of the Lord to the kings. So he wanted, go find me a prophet that will tell me what the word of the Lord is. So Hilkiah the priest and Achaim and Achbor and Shaphan and Asaiah, they went to Huldah, the prophetess, the wife of Shallum, the son of Tikva, the son of Haras, keeper of the wardrobe. Now she dwelt in Jerusalem in the college, and they communed with her. There were certainly other prophets. There was Jeremiah and Zephaniah and that he could have gone to, but Hilkiah knew of this, you know, of Huldah and knew that she was a prophetess. And she said unto them, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, tell the man that sent you to me, thus saith the Lord, behold, I will bring evil upon this place and upon the inhabitants thereof, even the words of the book which the king of Judah hath read. Because they have forsaken me, and have burned incense unto other gods, that they might provoke me to anger, and all the works of their hands, therefore my wrath shall be kindled against this place, and shall not be quenched. So the Lord, you know, reveals to Huldah the, you know, what's going to be done, and why it was done, which Josiah already knew. But now notice God's grace toward Josiah. In verse 18, but to the king of Judah, which sent you to inquire of the Lord, thus shall you say unto him, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, as touching the words which thou hast heard. Because thine heart was tender, and because thou hast humbled thyself before the Lord, when thou heardest that I spake against this place, and against the inhabitants thereof, that they should be a desolation and a curse, and hast rent thy clothes, and wept before me, I also have heard thee, saith the Lord. Behold, therefore, I will gather thee unto thy fathers, and thou shalt be gathered into the grave in peace, and thine eyes shall not see all the evil which I shall bring upon this place. And they brought the king word again. And in chapter 23 it says, and the king sent, and they gathered unto him all the elders of Judah and of Jerusalem. And the king went up to the house of the Lord, and all the men of Judah, and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem with him, and the priests, and the prophets, and all of the people, both small and great. And he read in their ears all of the words of the book of the covenant which was found in the house of the Lord. So Josiah heard the promise of both eventual judgment and immediate delay of judgment. He didn't respond with indifference or contentment, remember Hezekiah. He said, oh, it's not going to be happening in my day. That's great, okay. You know, it's going to happen in my son's day. You know, it's kind of like, okay, you don't care. Well, Josiah was not that kind. He wanted to make sure that, hey, if it happens, it's not going to happen on my watch. This I know, but I want to set it for future generations so that they won't be caught up in this. He wanted to get the kingdom right with God, and he knew that he couldn't do it all by himself, so he called upon all of the elders. He got all of the people together and says, hey, this is what needs to be done. Now, it's interesting what comes to pass when a leader that has been emboldened by the Lord, man, they follow after him. I mean, you can't stop a person like that. First, we know of a public reading of the law is in Joshua chapter 8:30. That's the first reading of the law. That was supposed to happen as soon as they got into the land. As soon as they got settled into the land, they were to have a public reading. The next we hear of it during the reign of Jehoshaphat, more than 500 years later. Then in the reign of Josiah, there was a public reading of the law more than 250 years after Jehoshaphat. Excuse me. Of course, there might have been public readings before, but they weren't recorded, so we don't know anything about them. So we can only go by what we know, and we see it was sparse, you know. How's your Bible reading? Is it sparse, or do you have a set time every day to read the Word of God, to absorb that which God has for you? He went to great lengths to put this together for you. You know, he wants you to know everything about him, and it's all written here. There's no reason why any Christian should say, well, I don't know what the Lord wants me to do. It's right here. To love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind, and all of your strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. What did Jesus say? Seek ye first. First. Number one, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things will be added to you. All of these things will be added to you. In Deuteronomy 31, 9 through 13, it tells us the entire law was to be read to an assembly of the nation once every 7 years at the Feast of the Tabernacle to keep the law before the people. Verse 3, and the king stood by a pillar that made the covenant before the Lord to walk after the Lord and to keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes with all of their hearts and all of their soul to perform the words of this covenant that were written in this book, and all the people stood to the covenant. You remember when Moses gave the law from Mount Sinai, all the people says, everything that the Lord has said we will do. Well, it's kind of like the same vein here. They're just parroting what the king wants to hear. Their hearts weren't changed. They were still, you know, going about their daily routines. They were given lip service, but, you know, their hearts hadn't been changed. The hearts have to be touched. And the king commanded Hilkiah, the high priest, and the priests of the second order, and the keepers of the door, to bring forth out of the temple of the Lord all the vessels that were made for Baal, and for the grove, and for all the host of heaven. He burned them without Jerusalem in the fields of Kidron, and carried the ashes of them to Bethel. And he put down the idolatrous priests whom the kings of Judah had ordained to burn incense in the high places in the cities of Judah, and in the places round about Jerusalem. Them also that burned incense unto Baal, unto the sun, and to the moon, and to the planets, and to all the host of heaven. And he brought out the grove from the house of the Lord without Jerusalem, unto the brook Kidron, and burned it at the brook Kidron, and stamped it small to powder, and cast the powder thereof upon the graves of the children of the people. He brake down the houses of the Sodomites that were by the house of the Lord, and where the women wove hangings for the grove. And he brought all the priests out of the cities of Judah and defiled the high places where the priests had burned incense, from Geba to Beersheba, and break down all of the high places of the gates that were in the entering in of the gate of Joshua, the governor of the city, and were on the man's that which were on a man's left hand at the gate of the city. Nevertheless, the priests of the high places came not up to the altar of the Lord in Jerusalem, but they did eat of the unleavened bread among their brethren. And he defiled Topheth, which is in the valley of the children of Hinnom, that no man might make his son or his daughter pass through the fire to Molech. And he took away the horses that the kings of Judah had given to the sun, at the entering in of the house of the Lord by the chamber of Nathan-Melech, the chamberlain, which was in the suburbs, and burned the chariots of the sun with fire, and the altars that were on the top of the upper chamber of Ahaz, and the kings of Judah had made, and the altars which Manasseh had made in the two courts of the house of the Lord did the king beat down and break them down from thence, and cast the dust of them into the brook Kidron. And the high place that were before Jerusalem, which were on the right hand of the Mount of Corruption, which Solomon the king of Israel had builded for Ashtoreth, the abomination of the Zidonians, and for Chemosh, the abomination of the Moabites, and for Milcom, the abomination of the children of Ammon, did the king defile. And he brake in pieces the images, and cut down the groves, and filled their places with the bones of men. Moreover, the altar that was at Bethel, and the high place which Jeroboam the son of Nebat made to Israel to sin, had made both that altar and the high place, he brake down, and burned the high place, and stamped it small to powder, and burned the grove. And as Josiah turned himself, he spied the sepulchres that were in the mount that sent and took the bones out of the sepulchres, and burned them upon the altar, and polluted it according to the word of the Lord, which the man of God proclaimed, who proclaimed these words. Then he said, what title is this that I see? And the men of the city told him that it was the sepulcher of the man of God, which came from Judah and proclaimed these things that thou hast done against the altar at Bethel. And he said, let him alone, let no man move his bones. So they let his bones alone with the bones of the prophet, and came out of Samaria. So Joash went through and cleaned house. He not only cleaned out the temple of God in Jerusalem and Judah, he also went up into Israel and defiled all of those altars up there and burned the priest's bones on there, which would defile it. Apparently the burning of human bones or whatever would, you know, defile a pagan altar or whatever, so that it couldn't be used anymore. Go figure. anyway. But if you look at all of the things that had happened, Joash was trying to clean out everything that Israel had done. All of the wickedness, all of the things that defile. And this is just like what we need to do. We need to take stock and inventory of all of the things that pollute us. All of the things that we've amassed over the years and we've stored away in storehouses. We need to bring those things out and we need to have them burned by the brook Kidron, as it were. But take them out of these things. Because as long as they're inside there, they're going to pollute your mind. They're going to be the desires of your heart. And they need to be trashed. They need to be taken out and it needs to be replaced by the Word of God. Needs to be replaced by the praise and the worship of God, that fellowship that we have. And the Holy Spirit will be glad to go through and He'll be glad to clean out those closets and those places where those things have been tucked away and you hadn't thought of for a year, but they're still there. They're unconfessed and they're hampering your spiritual walk. There's a book, and I know I've been I'm gonna do this time. I'm gonna get a copy of this book and I'm gonna have it out there in the blue room for people to pick up. And it's called My Heart, Christ's Home. And if you've never read it, it's really it's really home hitting. You know, it's where Christ goes into this house and he starts to clean out all of the closets as this man has given himself over to the Lord and the Lord comes in, he smells something putrid in this closet and he goes in there and, you know, it's a really cool book. It's fascinating, but it's really, you know, it hits you where you live. And so I'll try to get that as soon as I can there. In verse 19, and all the houses also of the high place that were in the cities of Samaria, which the kings of Israel had made to provoke the Lord to anger, Josiah took away and did to them according to all the acts that he had done in Bethel. He slew all the priests of the high places that were upon the altars and burned men's bones upon them and returned to Jerusalem. So in his zeal to clean the land of idol worship and those that promoted it, he left no stone unturned until it was all destroyed. This is reminiscent to me about Jesus going into the temple and overturning the money changers and whipping out the animals that people had sold animals and doves and things like that in there for sacrifice at exorbitant rates, you know. Now we have temple rates, the exchange rates that have to be, you know, so making the worship of the Lord odious to the people. And the king commanded all the people, saying, keep the Passover unto the Lord your God, as it is written in the book of this covenant. Surely there was not holden such a Passover from the days of the judges that judged Israel, nor in all the days of the kings of Israel, nor of the kings of Judah, but in the 18th year of King Josiah, wherein the Passover was holden to the Lord in Jerusalem. So one thing that we can't do, even though it's as well-intentioned as we might be, we cannot change the heart of people. Sometimes we'd love to. Oh, I'd love to change that person's. All they need is Jesus. And man, then they'll have the peace that passes understanding that I have. And I can pass that along. But we can't do that. Only the Holy Spirit can touch a person's heart to where they're going to want the Lord. So this Passover was kind of a throwback into when they were released from the land. This is the great work that the Lord had done. All of the plagues of Egypt. And then all of a sudden, we're out and He parts the Red Sea and the people come out. And, oh, don't you remember these things? This is what the Lord promised, this land. You know, we're about to lose this land unless we get back on the good foot here. So it's almost, you can almost hear a cry in his voice as he's trying to convince the people to come into the presence of the Lord. But the exterior is what was happening here. Those exterior things. The temple was all of a sudden full of people again. The popular vogue thing to do was go to the temple, meet up with friends, have dinner, you know, whatever it is. But it was just a stopping off place to get your other business done. And so God said to Jeremiah, go down to the temple, the gates of the temple, and to the people are passing through it in the temple, and cry out. Trust not in lying vanities, saying, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord are these. The lies, the emptiness. You're not really serving the Lord. And of course, Jeremiah got into all kinds of trouble about that, and, you know, we won't get into all of the things. That's going to be a story for another time. But hang around. We'll finally get there. Moreover, the workers with familiar spirits and the wizards and the images and the idols and all the abominations that were spied in the land of Judah and in Jerusalem did Josiah put away, that he might perform the words of the law which were written in the book that Hilkiah the priest found in the house of the Lord. So Josiah got the word of the Lord, and he started to do exactly what Joshua did. Drive out these heathen, drive out the idol worships out of the land, so it would be pure again, and so the Lord would bless this land again. But the people, they just weren't into it. And I like unto him, verse 25, and like unto him there was no king before him that turned to the Lord with all his heart and with all his soul and with all his might according to the law of Moses, neither after him arose any like him. So he's getting a double card. Not only did he get his report card, but there was also a note from the teacher there. Okay? Yeah. He did everything right, and there was no other king like him. He was top of the class. Notwithstanding, verse 26, the Lord turned not from the fierceness of his great wrath, wherewith his anger was kindled against Judah because of all of the provocations that Manasseh had provoked him withal. And the Lord said, I will remove Judah also out of my sight as I have removed Israel, and will cast off this city, Jerusalem, which I have chosen, and the house of which I had said, my name shall be there. So there was crimes that had to be punished. And so the Lord says, I'm not going to turn away from my great wrath. This is going to happen. Now the rest of the acts of Josiah and all that he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Judah? In his days, Pharaoh Necho, king of Egypt, went up against the king of Assyria to the river Euphrates. And the king and King Josiah went against him, and he slew him at Megiddo. And when he had seen him, and his servants carried him out in the chariot dead from Megiddo and brought him to Jerusalem and buried him in his own sepulcher. And the people of the land took Jehoaz, the son of Josiah, and anointed him and made him king in his father's stead. Now, 2 Chronicles tells us a little bit more about that, and I'll let you read that at your leisure, verses 20 through 25 in there. In verse 31, Jehoahaz was 23 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 3 months in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Hamutal, and his daughter, the daughter of Jeremiah of Libna. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his fathers had done. And Pharaoh Necho put him in bands at Riblah in the land of Hamath, and that he might not reign in Jerusalem, and put the land to a tribute of 100 talents of silver and 1 talent of gold. And Pharaoh Necho made Eliakim, the son of Josiah, king in the room of Josiah his father, and turned his name to Jehoiakim, and took Jehoahaz away. He came to Egypt and died there. And Jehoiakim gave the silver and the gold to Pharaoh, but he taxed the land to give the money according to the commandment of Pharaoh. He exacted the silver and the gold of the people of the land, of every one according to his taxation, to give it unto Pharaoh Necho. Jehoiakim was 25 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 11 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Zebuda, and the daughter of Pedaiah of Rumah. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his fathers had done. So the beginning of the end of the kingdom of Judah. One bad king after another. The next two chapters chronicle the death of the nation and a Babylon exile. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the word that you've given us today, and we thank you that you are so gracious and kind, that you will forestall judgment if your people pray. Lord, we don't know the plans and the purpose that you have, but we know, Lord, that if we pray, if we come before you, bringing the nation before you, that, Lord, you will change your heart from destroying a nation. So I pray, Father, that we would have that heart to come before you. And if it's only for a remnant of your people to be drawn out, then, Lord, let it be according to your will. Oh, Father, we have read the end of the book, and we know that there are many things that are going to happen. But Lord, we know that there are many people yet that have not heard your word. So I pray, Lord, that you would put it upon our hearts, that we would tell anyone that we come in contact with that you are the Lord and that you save marvelously. Lord, have your way with us. Pour out your spirit upon your people today. In Jesus' name, amen.